Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the Son of David. Amen. Indulge with me in a bit of historical fiction on this Palm Sunday, leading into the week of Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine, if you will, a girl named Sherry, 10 years old, living in Dallas, Texas. The whole town was excited because the president was coming to town. It was 1963. Presidents didn't travel all that much in that day. So if the president was coming to your town, it was something special. And they were going to have a parade for this president. Not just any parade, but one that meandered through Dallas streets for 10 miles so that as many people as possible could see this man. John F. Kennedy was a young, energetic, charismatic president. Oh, he had his detractors as a Catholic and a Democrat, but he enjoyed high approval ratings through the whole country. That high regard of the president was certainly evident in Sherry's household, Catholics and Democrats for generations. Along with everybody else, they had heard that a Catholic would never be elected president of the United States. So they were glad that that myth had been shattered. Sherry begged her parents to take her to the parade. Her parents objected, saying there'd be way too many people. But she redoubled her efforts, and her parents relented. It was November 22nd, 1963. Sherry and her parents decided to go right downtown on Main Street, one of the streets on which the parade had been routed. And her parents were right. There were thousands, tens of thousands of people milling around. They were in the windows of the buildings lining Main Street, all straining for a glimpse of the president. Anticipation built in the crowd. Finally, they could see motorcycles in the distance, and then a white Ford carrying the Dallas police chief and some other law enforcement. Then the car for which they were waiting, a 1961 Lincoln Continental open-top convertible, carrying the governor of Texas and his wife, but far more importantly, carrying John and Jacqueline Kennedy. The crowd cheered. JFK flashed his winning smile. He waved exuberantly at everyone. This was likely the only time in that day that people would ever see a president in person. Because she was small, she sat on her father's shoulders and from that perch yelled as loudly as she could, and she thought that Mrs. Kennedy looked directly at her and smiled. As soon as the moment had come, it was over. The motorcade simply moved on to the next block on its way to Dealey Plaza far in the distance. The crowd dispersed, Sherry still agog with excitement. She and her family decided they would share an ice cream at a shop on Main Street while they savored the moment that they had just experienced together. Sherry declared that outside of birthdays and Christmas, this was the most important thing that had ever happened to her in her life. They were about halfway through their ice cream when they saw some people running outside. Just a few at first, but then everybody seemed to be running somewhere. They were shouting words over their shoulders, words that Sherry's family couldn't understand. Finally, Sherry's mom put enough of those words together to say, "I think they are telling us that the president has been shot." And of course, that is the truth. November 22nd, 1963, in Dealey Plaza. If you are old enough, you likely remember exactly where you were when you heard that news. I was in fourth grade. The teachers had been called out of the rooms to the principal's office. A very somber teacher walked back into the room to announce that the president had been killed and that the buses were lined up, ready to take us home as soon as we gathered our belongings for the night. It was odd to get out of school a couple of hours early. Even the smallest of kids were so quiet. The bus took its winding route along country roads to my home about 5 miles outside of town. I found my mom in the basement, unfinished basement of our home, ironing clothes and crying. At 10 years of age, I had no idea what a watershed moment this was for our country. Sherry and her family in Dallas had a far better idea. They immediately went into mourning for the Kennedy family and for our nation. They went to their Roman Catholic church and lit a candle. That Sunday at Mass, the priest tried to proclaim the promises of Jesus Christ, even in such a forlorn time as this. Across the world on this day, the Christian church thinks about a parade. Not a parade in Dallas, but a parade in Jerusalem. Like JFK, Jesus had a reputation that preceded him. This was not the first time that he had been in Jerusalem, either as a boy or as an adult. Back in 1963, Sherry and her family did not have the internet for immediate access of information nor the sharing of information. There were not 24-hour news crews filming every public moment of the president. It's hard to even remember how it was that we transmitted information back in 1963. Even more difficult to fathom how it is that information was shared in Jesus' day. How did the people know that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem? His advance crew was quite small, just a couple of disciples who were supposed to scare up a couple of donkeys. But they knew he was coming. They knew it was someone important. Otherwise, why would they have cut down tree branches to lay in front of Jesus on the path? Why would they have taken off their own cloaks, their own clothing, to throw it down in welcome of this one? They knew they were welcoming the chosen one of God. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. This was the most important moment of their lives. They were welcoming one who healed the sick, one who stilled the storm, one who preached a message of love and forgiveness, service of God and neighbor. Somehow they had gotten the message because they were welcoming no less than the Messiah, the one who would be the Redeemer of all Israel. The euphoria of that parade quickly dissipates. Not quite as quickly as a shot in DV Plaza in 1963. It is quite clear from the gospel that Jesus' intent riding the donkey into Jerusalem was to get to the temple. Jesus is angry at the temple, dispersing the money changers, driving out the buyers and sellers who were making his father's house a den of robbers rather than a house of prayer. But then mercifully, things dial back to normal. Jesus heals the blind and the lame, children still crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. But that brief respite of light is snuffed out by the anger of the religious leaders. Anger that has been simmering for years and would come to a boil 5 days later in front of Pontius Pilate. And as in Dallas, a man would be put to death. This is an odd day in the life of the church. It starts out with high praise and hosanna, but it ends with the cross in sight. We don't know if we should sing with the children or shield our eyes from the betrayal and suffering that is sure to come. Or is it possible to do both? Is it possible to sit in our homes in these days, stalked by an invisible global beast, while still proclaiming victory in Jesus Christ? Is it possible to laugh through the tears? Is it possible to find hope, even with an unrelenting news cycle that slips past the best of filters? I can tell you this. In 7 days, you will hear these strong words. There's no power on earth that can tie me down. This is in reference to the one who rides into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. One who was willing to risk alienating government leaders, leaders of the synagogue. One who will risk his own life. There is no power on earth that can tie him down. Because that is true, there is no power that can defeat us either. Oh, in this mortal life, we will find valleys. Sometimes the valleys are very deep. But there is no power on this earth that can tie us down. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Amen.